This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I want to welcome you to today's program. And wherever you're listening, welcome to the Paul McGuire Report, including those of you who are listening in heaven. And I don't mean that in a trivial sense, and I certainly don't mean it in any disrespectful sense. But after all, think about this, and this is not just related to the Paul McGuire Report, but it's related to any program, any communication, any conversation, any broadcast, whatever you want to call it. If the participants in that broadcast, if the people involved are born again and they're saved and the Spirit of God lives inside of them, then a number of things are potentially possible. And let's just open with that for a moment, because I'm all about thinking outside of the box, and I believe you are too, or you wouldn't be listening to the program. Wherever you're listening on planet Earth, by the way, whatever continent or nation, or in whatever dimension, like beyond the dimension of space and time. But back to this theological, biblical concept. The Bible teaches us that where two or more of us are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of us. Now think about that. If there are two or more of us gathered together in His name, whose name? Jesus Christ. If there's two or more of us gathered together in His name, Jesus' name, then the Bible says, then there He, who's He? Jesus is in the middle of us or in the midst of us. Now, that's a mind-blowing concept if you think about it for a moment. So, that is only potentially possible to people who have asked to be forgiven of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith and have come boldly to the throne room of grace, unmerited favor, and have asked Jesus to make them born again or to save them. So what happens is you're forgiven of your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You see, you're not booted out. You're not rejected from the presence of God. You're not rejected from the dimension of heaven. You're welcomed into the heavenly dimension. Now, I'm not talking about the permanent location of heaven that everyone listening who has genuinely accepted Christ into their lives, and you're born again, and I'm born again. When we die, we will live eternally in a place called heaven. But in addition to that, God created the world, the universe, in multiple dimensions. Quantum physics believes that there are at least 11 to 13 different dimensions. Now, some of the dimensions we know because they're the dimensions that we can perceive with our physical senses, such as seeing and hearing, touching and tasting and smelling and so on and so forth. But Jesus was talking to His disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is any person. A disciple does not mean a perfect person. A disciple simply means somebody who chooses to follow after Jesus. That's a disciple. And if you're born again because you have invited Christ into your life and asked Him to save you, then the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, goes into your inner man or inner woman, and He regenerates you or makes you born again. See, previously, up until that point, according to the Bible, you were dead, spiritually dead, in your sins and trespasses. What does that mean? Well, that means that every man and woman born is born with the DNA of Adam and Eve, in part. We also, in part, have the DNA of God. But you see, Adam and Eve were perfect. They lived in paradise. They had eternal life in them. They were not dying, etc. But when they chose to disobey God and eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, after they were tempted by Lucifer, who had indwelt a reptilian being, a serpent, when they decided to disobey or reject the word of God, they activated the law of sin and death. A curse was activated in their body, soul, and spirit. A curse was released in the earth, in the Garden of Eden. And everything was in a degradation mode. Now think about this. So Jesus Christ comes. All this is prophesied by the Word of God. Jesus Christ comes to save any man or woman who wants to be saved. Why? Because God is love. God is not a jihadist. How do we know God is not a jihadist? Because God is love. And you can't be a jihadist blowing people up and be motivated by love at the same time. God is love. That's his primary. He has other attributes. That's his primary attribute. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life," or eternal life. But man, this, you know, once again, I have to say this. Anybody who says the Bible is boring, I'm telling you, you need to see a doctor. Be careful what kind of doctor you see, but you need to see a doctor. You need to have your brains checked out, because something is not working in the neurological network of your brain. I mean, it just is not functioning. If you can't comprehend just how awesome, phenomenal, mind-blowing the Word of God is, especially when you compare it to all the counterfeit religions and counterfeit truths, then there's something deadly wrong with you. I mean, you know, I'm your friend. My name's Paul. How you doing? All that stuff. I'm saying that because I love you, not because I hate you. There are people who preach and they get on television and they amass, you know, thousands and thousands of people to watch or listen to them preach, but they don't preach the truth. They preach a little tiny fraction of the truth. A fraction of the truth is not the same thing as the truth. So Jesus tells his disciples, where two or more of you, his disciples, people that are born again, people that have the Spirit of God inside of them, that's what Jesus is talking about, where two or more of you are gathered in my name, whose name? Jesus' name, there I will be, Jesus, in the midst or the middle of them. So that means is that if you gather together in the name of Jesus with the intentionality of praying and seeking the face of God and communing with God and studying God's word and worshiping God, if that's your intention and purpose, and you're doing it in the name of Jesus, you're not doing it in the name of Guru Fuba or you know, the prophet, you know, from some Hindu religion. You're doing it in the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Then God's law goes into effect. There he is, Jesus, in the midst of you. Now that is truth, true truth. The Word of God tells us it is. So that means right now, at this nanosecond, wherever you're listening to me from, and I'm talking about men and women in different age groups and different ethnic groups and different racial groups and all over planet Earth, including potentially, because I don't know for sure, including potentially beyond time and space in the dimension of heaven or the spiritual realm. Jesus says, as you and I are, see, what we're doing right now is we're gathering together in the name of Jesus. And because we're gathering together electronically, technologically, with social media, with the internet, with broadcasting, with a multiplicity of technologies, we're using all of those communication technologies. Some of them were just invented in the last 20 years. And we're utilizing all these communication technologies, and we're employing them to gather together electronically and communicate for the purpose of worshiping and seeking Jesus. We're gathering together in His name, Jesus' name. And according to God's law, according to God's word, what happens and what is happening now at this nanosecond is that there He is, Jesus, in the midst of us. So it is not presumptuous for us to say, first of all, for us to say together, we're one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord. It's not presumptuous for us to say that we are worshiping God, we're one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord. And according to His word, the word of God, He is there in the middle or the midst of us. So a supernatural dynamic is taking place. Jesus Christ is there in the midst of us because we have gathered together in His name, the name of Jesus. And the law of God says when that happens, a supernatural action occurs. Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who is the Supreme Being, also known as the infinite personal living God of the universe, Jesus Christ is gathered there in the midst of us supernaturally. That's what fellowship is, or koinonia. And as I'm talking, and you're listening, and you may be saying stuff out loud or whatever, who knows? Wherever you are on planet Earth, see, there's this a communion, a coming together supernaturally is occurring. We're not gathering together to talk about politics or anything else. We're gathering together to talk about Jesus, and as such, He's there in the midst of us. So any radio program, video program, broadcast, any electronic communication, whether it's 5G or AM or FM or whatever it is, any communication that is occurring where people who are born again by the Spirit of God are gathering together in His name, Jesus' name, there He is right now in the midst of us. So that means I'm here in Southern California. You may be in Great Britain. You may be off the coast of Africa. You may be in Asia, and so on and so forth. But there's a supernatural dynamic taking place, and that is Jesus Christ is in the midst of us. And Jesus Christ said, where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, if you ask me, Jesus, anything in my name, Jesus, I will do it for you. So there's another kingdom dynamic, kingdom law, kingdom principle, which is simply this. If we gather together in His name, Jesus' name, if two or more of us gather together in His name, Jesus' name, whatever we ask Him, as long as we're unified in our prayer requests, whatever we ask him, he will do, he will answer our prayer. He will do the very thing that we request of him. Now, what that means is at this moment, at this nanosecond, because of God's law, the fact that we've gathered together, whatever we ask for in Jesus' name will be done for us by our Father who is in heaven. That means we can release miracles. We can release answers to prayer. We can release a biblical revival. We can believe God for people's salvation, and on and on and on. There's this huge reservoir in the invisible realm, this huge bank account, if you will, in the invisible realm or spiritual world, which we can access by faith in Jesus Christ and by simply asking him for what we need in Jesus' name. Now, all I can say is if you really contemplate the fullness of what I just shared with you, it's mind-blowing. You see, that makes our communication holy or sacred or set apart. We're not just gathering together to blab about idle things or lewd things or things of anger, things of lust, things of escapism or whatever. We're not just gathering together any old way. We're gathering together with the intention of gathering together as human beings in the name of Jesus. And so it takes this platform, and this is not the only platform. God will use any platform that someone or someone's is willing to dedicate to his purposes. God will use all kinds of platforms, not just this one. God will use any platform where the participants are willing, able, and ready to gather together in Jesus' name. And that's what we're doing. And so you can be sure of this, whether you comprehend the fullness of what we're talking about or not. The reality is there is the potential release of an enormous amount of kingdom power where we can, through prayer, by coming boldly to the throne of grace, we can, through prayer, ask Jesus for anything we desire according to his will, and he will do it. And so I want to start off today's Paul McGuire report by just reminding myself and reminding you of what an awesome privilege God has given us in this period of time in history, where we can literally change the nature. And we don't be afraid, by the way, of thinking about this. Don't be afraid of speaking about it. We have been given by God the gift or the privilege of literally shaping or reconfiguring reality, transforming reality to whatever extent he permits. We have been given that privilege by God. As such, no matter what the world system or Babylon or Lucifer and his servants may be trying to brainwash us with, the reality is we can reconfigure, transform reality if we will access his supernatural and divine power by praying to him according to his will in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's awesome. And you should be feeling, as I'm feeling right now, the fact that this is a sacred moment, sacred in the sense that it's set apart, it's holy. So let's just begin with a brief prayer. and you can say it out loud or silently. Lord Jesus Christ, we come boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would touch and fill every person listening to the Paul McGuire Report, wherever they are, anywhere in the world. We ask that you would fill with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would fill with your dunamis power, that you would fill with power from on high every person listening with the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we invite you to use this program and the associated aspects of this ministry. We ask you to use it to extend your rulership, Lord, your dominion, Lord, for your purposes, Lord. So, Lord, people may be saved, delivered, healed, and that a biblical revival, not a counterfeit, but a biblical revival, may be released, Father, through our prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to fully understand what just transpired, we have to look at it through the eyes of faith. We can't just look at it through our natural mind, but through the eyes of faith. The throne room of God exists in another dimension beyond time and space, in a place called eternity. The throne room of God is in a place that is totally holy, totally pure. And when we read the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, we read depictions of what the throne room of God looks like. And I'm going to read you just a little bit of what God's word says. And I just want to remind you of this truth as I read you the scripture, which tells us what is happening in the throne room of God right now. I want you to allow yourself, I want you to allow your hearts to rejoice over what is transpiring in the visible realm. And to always remember that you and I, and anybody listening, we are right now surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That means there are God's angels. There are those people who have died and passed on to heaven. There are all these beings, and only God knows the identity of each one, who are in heaven waiting for us to join them. And they're in the throne room of God, worshiping God, and they're looking down upon you and me right now from another dimension. And I say that for the purpose that your faith may be strengthened. God knows exactly who you are. God knows your name. God knows your purpose, your destiny, your struggles, your challenges. God knows all these things about you. And God, most of all, God's love and God's hand of blessing is upon you. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And make sure you spread this link far and wide to do an end run around the dark strongholds of the tech giants that would attempt to block the salvation truth from people's hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. In the book of Revelation, this is a book, perhaps the most important book in the Bible, because it's the only in this book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it's only in this book where it starts out promising a blessing that will be poured out from God upon the person or persons who read this book faithfully and don't change its meaning. And then the book of Revelation ends with the promise of a blessing if you teach and communicate the message of Revelation faithfully. But if you twist or distort the meaning of the book of Revelation, you will be under a curse, and the curse could be so great that your name could be literally blotted out from the book of life. There's no other book in the Bible that has this level of holiness and power attached to it. And yet, 87% of all evangelical Christians or Bible-believing Christians refuse to teach the book of Revelation in their churches or their Bible studies or in their ministries. Think about that. That is a very, very strange circumstance. Okay, so in Revelation chapter 4, and I had the privilege of writing all of the notes in this particular Bible that Jack Hayford was the executive editor on. I wrote all the notes from Genesis to Revelation. And I wrote about two-thirds of the extra copy. Obviously, I didn't write the Word of God, but we're talking about the study notes and what was called word wealth, the definitions of the words and what they mean, etc. Okay, so in Revelation chapter 3, subtitle is The Throne Room of Heaven. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance, like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So imagine this vast multitude, including these elders and angelic beings sitting on these thrones, and this great crowd in the throne room of God, and they have all come together, and they're singing and saying out loud in unison, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. All right, so this is Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and as such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Now, think about this for a moment. This is mind-blowing. God is giving us a supernatural look or view of the interior of the throne room of God in heaven. It's not a passive place. It's filled with the glory of God. It's filled with these highest-ranking angelic beings. It's filled with the saints who are worshiping God. And this is a place of incredible miracles, the glory of God, the power of God. And it's both terrifying and it's beautiful at the same time. Its beauty is spectacular. Look at just some of the things that the book of Revelation says about the visual and the auditory aspects of the throne room of God. Behold, a throne set in heaven. That's in another dimension. That's beyond time and space. And one sat on the throne. Okay, so the one that sits on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is described in the following way. And he, Jesus, who sat there, was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. So he looks like these glittering, natural, precious jewels So it's an indescribable visual image. And there was a rainbow around the throne. Think about that. He's sitting on this glorious throne, and then there's this rainbow that circles around the throne. And if that's not enough, the appearance of the rainbow is like an emerald. So obviously, the rainbow has the colors of a rainbow, which has different colors, but somehow and yet artistically and creatively infused into the rainbow is a color tone that doesn't collide but enhances the rainbow, and it's a color that's of a brilliant supernatural emerald color. See, I have no words to describe it to you, because it's beyond, the beauty of it is beyond human understanding. And then we see the 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns and gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. So it's intimidating. It's intimidating not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like crystal. So picture this in your mind. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like crystal, surrounding the throne. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. Okay, so these living creatures and these angelic beings are worshiping God, and they're saying, now this is the auditory part, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So there's this spectacular visual depiction of the throne room of God. But there's also a spectacular sound or auditory depiction of the throne room of God. The whole thing is beyond, way beyond earthly description. And the living creatures are giving glory and honor and thanks to Jesus on the throne. And they're worshiping him. Now, notice that these 24 elders have been given supernatural authority and power by God, just like you listening to the Paul McGuire Report. You too have been given a portion and an allotted amount of supernatural power and authority from God. There's not a single one of you listening to this program, wherever you are on planet Earth, there's not one person who has not been given supernatural power and authority from God at different levels, etc. And yet, even though everyone worshiping the Lamb upon the throne has been given supernatural power and authority, they willfully decide to take off their crowns, which signifies their ranking and their authority, and it also signifies the fact that they're joint heirs with Jesus. They're part of the royal family of Jesus Christ. And since Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then all the elders and the others in the throne room of God, they're joint heirs with Jesus, so they are also royalty. They are part of the royal family of Jesus Christ, and therefore they have thrones. And they decide to take their thrones and cast them before the Lamb of God who's sitting on the throne. So they're worshiping him, Jesus, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Now, one of the key truths here that the Lord wants us to see. In fact, I would say the Lord wants to give every single person listening to this program a supernatural revelation of this truth from the book of Revelation. Because when you receive a supernatural truth from the book of Revelation regarding this truth, it will transform your life forever. And I'm going to read it to you. As they're worshiping the Lamb, and they're playing harps, and there's golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of all those people that are saved, they're singing a new song to the Lord. And then towards the end of the new song, they're singing to the Lord. By the way, why are they singing a new song to the Lord? Because Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I make all things new." They are in the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new creation. So they're singing these words. Let me read them to you. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So what the Lord wants to give us a supernatural revelation of by his Spirit is the fact that every single person listening who is born again and saved, whether you're male or female, you have been made by Jesus. You are a king or a queen, and you are a priest or a priestess. You are royalty. You have royal dominion, royal authority, and a royal title because you are a joint heir with Jesus and are part of the royal family of God. Never forget that. That is who you are in the depth of your identity. And God, please hear this in the Spirit, and God has made you to be a king and a queen and a priest and a priestess. And then it says, and we shall reign on the earth. So let's flash back to what the Bible says, what happened at the beginning of time. God creates the Garden of Eden. The first man and the first woman he places in the Garden of Eden are Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are given the supernatural authority by God to rule and reign planet Earth and to rule and reign the Garden of Eden. They have supernatural authority, and therefore they are the king and queen of planet Earth. This is critical. They are the king and queen of planet Earth by the decree of God, and they have the supernatural power and authority to rule and reign and exercise dominion or rulership over planet Earth. This is a divine fact. And it's critical that we allow the Spirit of God to illuminate this in our hearts and minds. Okay, so in the beginning, the Creator, capital C, he creates planet Earth, he creates the Garden of Eden, he creates Adam, then he creates Eve for the purpose. Adam and Eve are the king and queen of planet Earth. Adam and Eve have been given rulership over planet Earth and the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are to rule and reign over planet Earth and the Garden of Eden. And they are to exercise dominion or rulership over planet Earth and the Garden of Eden. So that is who we are way, way back in our DNA. Now, we live under the system of Babylon. We live under the occultic satanic system known as Mystery Babylon, which originates at the Tower of Babel, and that was the world's first new world order, and one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. But it was also a new world order in which mankind was being set up by Nimrod, who was getting his directions from Lucifer, to rule and reign planet Earth as kings and queens, but with the condition that they worshipped Satan or Lucifer, who was their power source. So notice the difference. When we read what's going on beyond time and space in the book of Revelation, we see that all those who are kings and queens, priests and priestesses, who have been given the power to rule and reign, all of those people, the reason they have their power and authority is because they are worshiping God Almighty day and night before the throne. There's no confusion about the fact that they're the creature, small c, and God is the creator, capital C, and they are worshiping him and honoring him to such an extent that they're taking the crowns off their head and laying the crowns on their head. They're placing it before the Lord's throne as an act of worship, which signifies that they're acknowledging that their authority comes from the authority of Jesus, and the power they have to rule and reign comes from Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to use the dunamis, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit to open that up to you. That is who you are in the core of your identity. That is who you are in the core of your DNA code. You are a royal creature, whether you're male or female. You are a royal creature, and there is a royal coding in your DNA. And you were created by God to be an eternal being. Okay, so when God says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, what does that mean? Multiply, have as many children as possible, because God wants royal descendants to populate the earth and the other planets. And he wants mankind to be fruitful and multiply, because he wants heaven to be filled with people who love him and that he can love. But in addition to that, God is the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. And so he needs a race, and I'm not talking about like a normal ethnic race, I'm talking about a heavenly race, a heavenly seed, a heavenly DNA to rule and reign over planet Earth, to rule and reign over Lucifer and the fallen angels. Because God created mankind as the highest level, at the highest level of his created order, are men and women. Men and women are above every creature, animal, every living thing, every angel, every fallen angel, Lucifer. Men and women are the apex of God's creation. And they are above every creature. The only thing mankind is under is God himself. So all of that is in your DNA. Now, the devil is in rebellion from God. The devil is underneath men and women in terms of his authority and rulership. So the devil is leading a covert revolution in an attempt to have a regime change and overthrow the throne room of God and the reign of God. That's what this is all about. That's what's been going on for thousands of years. Mystery Babylon is the occultic religious system, the occultic deception system that Lucifer or the devil has been using to deceive mankind so he could make mankind slaves and captives and serve him as slaves. But he doesn't want mankind to know this. This is the great secret of Mystery Babylon. So, in our DNA, going back to Adam and Eve, now you really have to meditate on the word here, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, our DNA is royal. There's royal coding in our double helix. And we have been gifted with talents and abilities and anointings that are on the level of a king or a queen before God, or a priest or a priestess before God. That means we have the capacity, the ability, the talent level, the people skills, the intelligence level. That means, to be blunt, you and I, no matter where you're listening to me from on planet Earth, you are fully equipped and fully loaded. And I mean that in the American sense of when you see a American car commercial, even if it's a car made in Germany, like a Mercedes-Benz or a car made in another nation. When you see television spots selling cars, they'll always brag about the fact that these cars have every feature, every good feature, and they're fully loaded. And they're fully equipped. So you are in your DNA fully loaded and fully equipped because you were created in the beginning to operate and function on the level of a king or a queen or a priest or a priestess. Now think about that. Okay, so we see this worship continuing. And there's 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands worshiping the Lord in the throne room of God, along with the angels. And they're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever." Now, what is critical to grasp here is that God has embedded or infused our DNA with, first of all, the supernatural authority and ability and capacity as divine kings and queens and priests and priestesses who have been designed by God and whose DNA was created by God to reign and rule on the earth. And then also we have been equipped with supernatural power, riches, and supernatural wisdom and knowledge and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And the reason that God equipped us with all of those things on a magnificent level is because God has a plan and a purpose for our lives that requires that we operate on the highest level and the highest potential that any human being could possibly operate on. That is our call and our destiny, and it's in our double helix DNA. Blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne. So, this enormous power and blessing and authority is deposited in everyone who is saved. When you're saved, which simply means you come to the place in your life where you ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then you invite Christ to come into your inner man or inner woman and make you born again. When you do that by faith, you're saved. And then after you're saved, you become immediately a joint heir with Jesus. You're infused with all these supernatural gifts, power, and authority so that you can fulfill God's divine purpose for you that he embedded in you before your father and mother conceived you, before the beginning of time. Jesus Christ knew who you were. Jesus Christ knew your name before your mother and father conceived you. And he planned and purposed for you to be here for such a time as this. You are a child of God with an eternal and royal destiny. And God, right now, in Jesus' name, is standing before you. And he's bathed in glory. And Jesus is holding out to you, literally, the keys of the kingdom, which are just emanating with the glory of God. And Jesus Christ wants you right now to receive by faith the keys of the kingdom that are radiating with his glory. Because these keys of the kingdom give you the working authority, the applicable authority to bind and loose, to accomplish the miraculous, so that you can practically rule and reign in every dimension of life. That's how high the level of your purpose is. And along with that is that you were created to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You were created not to be a slave, not to be defeated. You were created before the beginning of time to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. In Revelation 6, gets into the four horsemen of the apocalypse of destruction. Okay. So, where are we? Well, we're in Revelation, and Revelation unlocks these supernatural and powerful truths about who you are, what your destiny is, and what God's call is for your life. Now, it just so happens that God destined you to be alive in this time zone. It just so happens God called you before the beginning of time to be alive in the last days for a special purpose. So God has equipped you and granted you the unique talents and abilities to live victoriously in the last days, which is why the signs of the times are happening all around you. And no matter what you may think about yourself, chances are, because of your fallen nature and the devil, you have underestimated yourself, because the reality is you're a joint heir with Jesus. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. This is what the Word of God tells you. That's why in Revelation 12, we see a depiction of spiritual warfare at the highest level between you and between the devil and God. So in Revelation 12, we read, starting in verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. That means war broke out in the spiritual realm. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. Dragon is Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Remember, Satan, communism, the occult, all of them operate on deception. Never forget that. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Why? For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So we see that that we defeat Satan. And how do we defeat Satan? It says right here, so the great dragon was cast out, and that serpent of old, Adam and Eve, called the devil, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then it says that the devil is the accuser of our brethren, who accuse them, that's me and you, day and night before God. And they, that's you and I, have overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So the word of the testimony simply is the truth that we're saved of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith in Christ, and it's from faith to faith. Now, what's the action plan here? The action plan here is, as I said in the title of my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. That's the title of my book, but that's exactly where we are on planet Earth right now. We are in the middle of the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. We are in the apex of the spiritual battle between angels and demons. And it's coming to a culmination. And the stage is being set for the second coming and the return of Jesus Christ. Now, the critical thing to understand is you have a divine assignment in this entire operation from God. But we're not just fighting people. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians 6, for our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So this gigantic spiritual battle is going on, and the devil is deceiving billions of people with spiritual deception of all kinds. False doctrine, false Christ, false teachers. The devil is deceiving billions of people so that he can make them his slaves and he can blind them from seeing the reality of their invitation to salvation through Jesus Christ. So what is our job, your job, and my job in the middle of these last days? What is our job? Our job is to, number one, save as many souls as possible, as fast as possible. Our job is to make disciples of all nations. In other words, teach people how to apply the Word of God to everyday reality. That includes removing spiritual deception, by the way. Our job is to communicate a biblical worldview. Our job is to occupy, not lose territory, but to occupy the territory that God has given us to occupy in the last days. And our job is to fulfill our last day's assignment by bringing in the last day's soul harvest, by igniting and ushering in a last day's and biblical revival where billions of people will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is our holy assignment by God. We have to fulfill it because, you see, Jesus Christ is waiting for his church, that's you and me, to fulfill our assignment before Jesus Christ can return and destroy the devil, destroy the Antichrist, destroy the false prophet, and decimate all those who have received the mark of the beast, the chip implant 666. God is waiting to come back with the armies of heaven and destroy Satan and his armies. But it is because of God's love for men and women that he's holding back, because he wants every man and woman that will come to him and receive him as their Savior to do so. If he comes prematurely, there could be millions of people who are sent to hell for all eternity because they needed more time in order to make that eternal choice. So our assignment from the Lord Jesus Christ right now is to win as many people to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as fast as we can and as strategically as we can. That's our number one assignment, win souls for Christ. Number two, make disciples of all nations. Number three, occupy the land until he comes. Number four, fulfill our destiny and ignite a last days biblical revival. Now, how is this done? The center, the very center of the spiritual battlefield is in the hearts and minds of every man and woman and child alive. That's why I titled my book, and you need to get the book, by the way, to understand what's really going on. We are in the middle of the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. I explain it in the book. It gives the whole trip, how it started, where it's going, what's coming next. Can't understand what's coming next unless you understood what came before. So our job is to fulfill our mission, and we do have a mission. So how is that done? You and I cannot fulfill our mission alone any more than the men and women who became part of Mystery Babylon in ancient Babylon. The reason they were able to build the New World Order and establish Mystery Babylon and worship Lucifer and build the Tower of Babylon, the reason they could do all those things was because they were functioning in unity, unifying, and acting as one. God shows us that as a kingdom principle. It works for evil, and it works for good. When the body of Christ, supernaturally, after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, after he ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ, God poured his Holy Spirit out on all the church. The trigger event was they had come together as one. They came together as one. Just like the evil people came together as one in Babylon, the disciples came together as one, praying as one in the upper room. And because of that true unity, God poured out his Holy Spirit on all flesh and supernaturally filled all of his disciples with power from on high. It was so much spiritual power that they were able to sweep the world and save millions of people into the kingdom of God. So what are we supposed to do now? What we're supposed to do now is use every tool, every mechanism, every resource, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, everything that God has given us to accomplish our mission. We need to use now, when I say now, I mean now, before the door shuts, we need to use every gift, every talent, every ability, every resource that God has given us, and we need to unify, come together to accomplish the missions that God has given us to accomplish before he returns. What is holding Jesus back from returning is that we haven't fulfilled the assignment yet. It's really simple. So, the Holy Spirit is speaking to every one of his true disciples right now. You're listening to me, Paul McGuire, of the Paul McGuire Report. You could be listening to me anywhere on earth. But among the people that are listening to this program, there's two subcategories. There's people who are just listening to me and processing what I'm saying with their normal human intellect, and that's fine. But then there are God's elect, those people who can hear and discern what the voice of the Holy Spirit is saying to his church and to his people at this time. Because right now, at this moment, the Holy Spirit is like a double message going forth. There's the normal, rational, logical communication. And then on another level, in the spiritual dimension, there's the spiritual Holy Spirit component of what I'm sharing with you. God is speaking to his elect, his chosen, those who are truly saved. They can hear, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And God is calling you, God is calling me. First of all, we know that God is calling us because the Word of God says, where two or more of us are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of us. So there's two or more of us gathered together in his name, and he is in the midst of us, and he's speaking to us, and he's downloading wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and assignments. He's giving us our marching orders. He's giving us our blueprint. And every one of you that hear that in the spirit, you know what you're supposed to do. God is calling us to unify in the Holy Spirit under the authority of Scripture. God is calling us to use all of our resources, gifts, talents, and abilities. God is calling us to put our faith into action. God is calling us to mobilize. And God is calling us to recognize the immediacy of the moment of time we're in. He's calling us to recognize how critical a moment of time we're in. So we'll act faithfully and will actually occupy the land that he called us to occupy for this moment in time. And the reason for that is that there are billions of souls hanging in the balance, billions of souls waiting to be saved. That's what's at stake, souls in the billions. So, well, I want to pray for you. I want you to join me in prayer, okay? I truly believe in prayer, and I thank each and every one of you who have chosen to be prayer warriors for me, my family, and this ministry. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for every person listening to this program, wherever they are on planet Earth. Lord, we pray right now that you would supernaturally pour out your Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, upon each one of us. Lord, we ask that you would clothe us with power from on high, God. We praise your name, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, and we pray that each one of us would receive clarity regarding our divine assignment, and that you would supernaturally, with your dunamis power, equip us with the explosive power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the missions you've called us to accomplish, Lord. And we praise your name and worship you, God. Lord, we ask that you would infuse us with divine guidance divine knowledge, divine wisdom, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you would birth in your supernatural body of Christ. We ask right now that you would birth in each one of us an authentic biblical revival, and that a biblical revival based on the Word of God would explode out of our inner man and inner woman. And we praise you for this, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we call on your mighty name, Jesus Christ, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We ask you to forgive our nation of its sins. And Lord, based on the blood of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit of revival. And Lord, we ask that you would drive back the demonic powers. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we ask in agreement that you would drive off the demonic powers from every single person's life, their family's lives, their nation's life, their church, their ministry. In Jesus' name, God, we cry out to you and ask right now, God, right at this very second, that you would send your supernatural power upon every person listening. And right now, in Jesus' name, you would break every shackle, every bondage, every deception, every work of the devil or demons, that you would break it, you would shatter it. And in Jesus' name, we take authority over every fallen angel, over every demon in Jesus' name. And we command those demons right now in the name of Jesus to be rooted out of people's lives and to be sent immediately into the lake of fire, where they would be forced to stay for all eternity with the prison door in the lake of fire locked for all eternity. We ask that you do this now, God, in Jesus' name, and we praise you for it, God. We praise you for it. God, we ask that you would use every single one of us as instruments of your last day's soul harvest, God, and use us in partnership with you to win billions of souls to Christ. Praise your name, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you would equip every person listening. Equip them supernaturally to be prayer warriors at the highest level possible. Lord, I pray that you would guide, give wisdom, and direct every person who's being obedient to you to help spread this message far and wide, Lord. Bless them and guide them, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would speak to people who are humbling themselves before you like little children, and they're asking you how they can partner with us in this ministry. And I pray that you would show them very clearly how they can partner with us in this ministry, and speak to them directly, Lord, and show them exactly how much they can contribute financially with their donations and contributions, Father. Make it clear. Make the pathway plain and simple, Father. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would supernaturally bless every person who steps out by faith to join us in this mission, God, in the name of Jesus. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask and we ask right now in Jesus' name that you would pour out your supernatural spirit of strengthening. I pray that you would save every person that needs to be saved. I pray that you would deliver every person that needs to be delivered, break bondage from every person that needs bondages broken, and set people free, Father. Lord, let there be a supernatural, and heavenly-inspired flash fire of the Holy Spirit based on your word, and just light people up with the Spirit of God and the fire of God, Lord. Light them up with the supernatural fire of God anchored in the Word of God. And we praise you for doing this, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I ask you to continue to join with me in continuing prayer, constantly praying. and be bold and claim your nation back for Jesus. Pray over the governing authorities. Pray over the church. Pray over the people that God brings into your life. And we praise you for directing and guiding people, Lord. Lord, I pray that nobody who listens to this program would come away empty or would come away without being touched by your holy power and your holy presence. And one of the ways you can help us is to spread this message far and wide. Look, the reality is that anybody who's speaking the truth, especially Christian and biblical truth, is under attack from powerful entities, okay, that rig and lie and manipulate with computer algorithms and other technologies. And they're doing everything they can to deceive, and they want to attempt to block the truth of this message from going forward. So I ask for your prayers and your prayer warfare, and I want you to know that as you communicate with me, and if I see and read your communication, that I have tried to, every time I read a communication from somebody like you, I make it my business to pray immediately, because I know that if I don't pray immediately, like while I'm reading what you've written to me, that I could very likely forget. And I don't want to be guilty of giving you a false promise. So know that to the degree that I read your communications, I pray for you. I thank you for your encouraging words and your kindness. You have no idea how it strengthens me, and you have no idea how it lifts me up, because they're genuine and they're true. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Spread these messages far and wide. Keep us in prayer, and let's take the land for Jesus Christ. Remember to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of our book bundle special discounts. And get yourself some of the books at a discount price. And then we have tons of free articles, free archives, free television, hundreds of hours of programming on the Roku channel free. And the reason, like 95% of everything that we produce is free, is because this is a ministry. We have to charge for books because of publishing and shipping costs. But besides books, and you can spread them around and share them with people, but besides books, everything is free, because the purpose and intent is to win the battle for the hearts and minds of people in this greatest battle that we're in right now. And God chose us for whatever reason. God chose you, and God chose me, and God chose others to be in the battle at this time in the last days. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And spread our Roku channel and all that stuff to people. You know, I recorded a whole hour and a half program on how to get into heaven like 2 weeks ago. Now, you may not need to hear it, but I guarantee you there's a percentage of people that you know that need to hear that message. And sometimes it's just a matter of timing. You try to give a salvation message, and all you get is a door slammed in your face. But a different season starts to happen in someone's life, or they go through trials, and all of that, a sudden, you send that salvation message that I recorded to somebody who the first time you sent it, they didn't want to hear it. But a year passed by, and all of a sudden, they're starving for the message, and they end up accepting Christ. It was like that in my life, and it was like that in your life, I'm sure. Sometimes timing is everything, you know, especially when you're witnessing to people. People can be very hard-hearted, but sometimes when they're facing the trials of life, they can be very tender-hearted. And we want to be ready to speak a word in season when they are ready. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.